Church, I thank God for each of you, and it's a privilege to serve the Lord and to serve here. I hope my prayers, the message I bring this morning, will be one that will be meaningful and helpful. Before I forget, I put an empty box here, a reminder that we're coming rapidly to the time that the Christmas Good Samaritan boxes will be taken to a central place and then taken from this city elsewhere. And there continues to be the collection bin out there in the foyer. And it is a good work that we can be participants in. I'd like to begin this morning with an illustration. It's likely that some of you will remember that the most interesting part of the Today program was when Jay Leno would go out of the studio onto the streets of New York, and he would stop people who were walking by and ask them a question or two. That part of the program was called Jaywalking. What made that part of the program so funny were the outrageous answers that he received to some of the questions he asked. For example, when he asked someone about Pearl Harbor, that person seemed to have no idea about what was meant by that question. Many people had no idea who was president when the atomic bomb was dropped, or if the United States had ever used an atomic bomb. It's a sad fact that many citizens of this great country do not have either the knowledge or the memory of some of the significant events that have shaped our nation and even our world, even as many professing Christians lack knowledge and understanding of the teachings of the Bible as God's Word. I personally believe that it is important that we have a memory of our past history, even as we should have hope for the future, both personally and with regards to the future of Covington Baptist Church. It's whenever we forget the past and whenever we lose a hope for the future, it is then that things are not bright on the horizon. I've personally known both individual people and congregations that have repeated the missteps of their past again and again because they did not learn the lessons that should have been remembered. The title I've given to the message this morning, Evaluated Experience, comes from a quote by writer John Maxwell. He stated, evaluated experience is the best teacher. We're to learn from the experiences of our past, both the best and the least desirable. From the beginning of Israel's history, God led his chosen people to build monuments and to establish symbols that were intended to help them remember about their past and to remind them of the covenant relationship with God and with one another as they were building what they hoped to be would be a better future. Let me quickly mention some of the symbols that we have in the Bible. For the Jewish people, the Passover was and is today. It commemorates the passing over of the angel of death at the home, the door of every family where the blood of the Lamb had been painted over the doorway. It was a promise of their deliverance from slavery and bondage in Egypt. The Bible tells us that God has given us the rainbow as a sign of his promise never again to completely flood the world. As Christians, baptism is intended to help us remember that each day we must choose, and in each life situation, we must choose not to give in to our carnal nature, but to focus on who we are for Christ and for God's glory. This morning, we will once again celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's vital that we remember that the bread, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, represents for us the body and the blood of Christ, which was given for all humanity. And that those who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, we participate in partaking of the unleavened bread, representing His body, and in the fruit of the vine, representing His blood, which was given for our salvation. It is whenever Americans forget the sacrifices that have been made for our nation's freedom, when we forget, it's easy to take our freedoms for granted. And likewise, it is if we forget our spiritual roots, along with the importance of our individual personal witness, it's then that we begin drifting away from the Lord and it becomes easy to neglect His words of instruction. From the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 1, it tells us in that verse that we are to hold in remembrance. Exodus 13. The 14th verse says this, "And it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, 'What is this?' you shall say to them, 'With a powerful hand of the Lord, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery.'" As Christian people, we are not to forget that each one of us at some time in the past, each one of us was spiritually lost and did not have a hope that stirred in our heart based on the promises which God has made. We must not forget that our salvation depends on God's grace and not upon our own good works. We sometimes forget the times when we thought God had forgotten our prayers, had not heard our prayers, but later we discover that He was already working behind the scenes for our good, our welfare. We sometimes also forget promises that we ourselves have made to God in terms of our faithfulness. And whenever this happens, we forget the importance of our covenant relationship with God and with one another. It is whenever we forget His words of instructions that we tend to feel that we ourselves have the right to define what is right and what is wrong. It is when we forget to abide by His word that we tend to demand our own way and want things to happen in our own time rather than listening to the prompting of His Spirit or being guided by the wisdom of the written word of Scripture. Whenever we forget, it's easy to condemn rather than to demonstrate love and grace. Whenever we forget, it's easy to harbor anger rather than forgiveness that leads to reconciliation. A reason we are to remember is because our past can remind us of blessings already received. Sometimes when I am feeling discouraged, I looked for a folder that I have hidden away, wherein I have placed a number of the notes and cards I have received over the years from family and Christian loved ones. And those notes of love and encouragement helped me to deal with the uncertainty of the immediate moment or the foreseeable future. One of the primary reasons that God has given us this book, the Bible, is so that we can be reminded of His everlasting love and the promises that He has fulfilled, and that He hears our prayers. And in all things, He is working for good for those that love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And each time you and I gather here and the table is spread in this way for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, we are to be reminded again of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made upon the cross for each one of us. The simple act of eating the unleavened bread, of drinking the fruit of the vine, is not what makes the celebration significant. In fact, we could eat unleavened bread and drink grape juice every day, and it would not be significant to who we are in Christ. Rather, it is when we partake of those elements of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus, that for this purpose He came, knowing that He would go to the cross at Calvary to be crucified for our sin unto our salvation, that whosoever would believe would not perish but would have everlasting life. Believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is intended to help us to remember that in Christ's name we were baptized, symbolizing our death to sin and self and being raised up to newness of life and life purpose. We're also to remember day by day, regardless of what is happening in the larger society in America, or regardless of what is happening in other places in the world, we are to remember that nothing whatsoever takes God by surprise. To remember that God is in control and that He sees everything that occurs. We should also remember that God has given us all good things to freely enjoy. We should remember that He has met our needs in the past, and we have the hope for our future days, even as we have certainty regarding our eternity. Remembering what the Lord has already done for us as His people should remind us of our obligation to continue to serve Him with gratitude and love and with wholeness of our heart. Let me give a couple more examples. Remembering our wedding vows should help us focus again on our covenant that which we have made to our spouse. Remembering how much a visit that you received in a time of personal grief and loss should encourage you to also make that visit when you know someone else is experiencing grief and loss. Remembering how much you cherished your kids when they were born should help you cherish them as the years go by. Remembering the joy of being forgiven should help you and me give forgiveness towards others. Remembering what you were before God brought about change within your heart and life should help each of us be more loving towards those who have not yet come to deal with their own spiritual lostness and their need to know Christ. Whenever a group of people get together, whether it's for a family or for a class reunion, or for a wedding, or even a funeral. Likely there will be lots of stories and memories that are shared. Each of us needs to remember the happier moments in our lives, the times and the occasions and the events which have impacted and helped to mold and shape us for who we are today. For example, the diplomas we have worked for and received, the awards we have received, the photographs we have cherished over the years. In Sunday school class this morning, I mentioned to those who were present that on Friday my cell phone rang, and as I saw the name there, I was immediately delighted because I had not talked by phone with Marcia and her husband Billy for several years, even though when I make the trip after Christmas to Indianapolis, I do with frequency visit with them in their home. But for some reason, I was on their mind on Friday. And it was Marcia who called, and we chatted for 49 minutes. I learned that day that their oldest son, William, who's named after her husband, that he and his wife, in her words, are going through a nasty divorce. I asked about their middle son, Alex, and I inquired about Victoria, or Tori as she is known. And I accepted their invitation that after Christmas, I hope to visit with them briefly in their home once again. God really is faithful. And over the 31 years since I returned to Virginia to witness and minister here, I have made that long trip back to Indiana. But I say again, my first visit is in Galveston, Indiana, which is just a few miles from the city of Kokomo. That's where my best friend Mike and his wife Pam live. That is 11 hours from where I live here in Virginia, but that is my first destination. And after the time of visit and prayer with them, then the next day I make my way back towards Indianapolis to visit my daughter and her family and to visit some of my dear friends. Reminding ourselves that we are made in God's image, and that we're not to try to make God in our image or to justify doing things our own way that can damage the witness of who we are for Christ, can help us to be more faithful and focused and deliberate in our witness. And I say again, we need to remember that nothing is hidden from God's eyes. Follow with me as I read from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and the years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let us remember God really is faithful. That which he has declared in his word is reliable. Many years ago, there was a book written by an author whose name was Victor Hugo. The name of that book was Les Miserables. I struggle to pronounce something. Miserable. Anyway, it was the account of an escaped convict whose name was Jean Valdin. That man had been imprisoned for 20 years for stealing a single loaf of bread. One day after his release, he stopped at the home of a bishop, and he was received into that home with great hospitality. However, this convict had not learned to resist temptation. The temptation about stealing was still so strong within his heart and mind. And when the bishop stepped out of sight, excusing him for just a few moments, Valdin saw and he took the silver that he saw, the silver vessels he saw in the bishop's home, and he ran off into the night. Very soon, however, he was stopped by a constable. He tried to lie his way out of trouble by saying to that policeman that the silver in his possession was actually a gift to him by the bishop. The constable made a decision that together they would go to the home of the bishop. And understandably, this thief expected the worst. However, when they entered the home and the constable asked the bishop about the silver that was in the possession of this man, the bishop said, "Of course this silver was my gift to him, but you forgot to take the most valuable part. You forgot to take the silver candlesticks." And so those candlesticks were placed into his hands. That day and that experience, the criminal who was named Jean Valdin was granted grace extraordinarily. As Paul Harvey used to say, now for the rest of the story. Before that thief left the home of the bishop that second time, the bishop said to him, "You must never forget this moment. Your soul and your life have been brought back. You're not your own. From now on, this day forward, you belong to God." Those words, which were spoken in that circumstance that day, forever impacted that man's life. Over the years, he held on to those candlesticks as a reminder of the grace that set him free, the grace that gave him a new beginning, a new focus, a new hope. I say to you, the best thing you and I as Christians can offer to the world out there and offer to one another is God's grace. Our primary message is the story of God's grace, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that no one should be lost. That's our primary message. We need to remember God's promise to forgive us, to be with us, to cleanse us, to equip us, to provide for us, to see us through every circumstance, to bring out good even out of tragedy, to guide us to and his promise that he has prepared a place for us in the beauty of heaven. God has promised to always love you and me. I encourage you, spend time reading and reflecting upon the instructions, the encouragement, the wisdom of his word. Today, many people do not spend much time reading. They spend more time watching. But as Christian believers, we are to spend time reading and learning and being reminded again and again of the promises, the guidance, the wisdom of his word. We're also to remind ourselves and one another of why it is at the appointed hour on Sunday, the first day of a new week, that we choose to gather in the meeting place with others to blend our voices in the songs that we sing, to join our hearts in the prayers that are answered, and to focus our minds upon the words of the Scripture that are declared. On my desk, I have this pair of praying hands. It has the inscription, "Called to Pray." On my desk, I have this plaque that says, as we read a moment ago, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." And I brought with me this morning the salt shaker. Well, the scripture would remind us, you are the salt of the earth. Salt. One of my favorite foods is salt-cured ham. I try not to eat as much of it as I used to in my younger years. And recently at a restaurant, I chose to get sugar-cured ham. I think next time it will be salt-cured ham. But anyway, salt has been used over the generations as a way of preserving fresh meat from decaying and rotting. The scripture gives the image that we're the salt of the earth. The implication is that as Christians, we're to have a preserving impact through our words, through our acts of kindness, and sometimes through our boldness in saying, let's not do that. That's not right. That's not a good thing to do. That's harmful. God calls each of us to be mindful of his words of promise. And life has a way of reminding us the importance of seeking to do our best to abide by his words of instruction. For they are words of wisdom. As we trust in the Lord and lean not just unto our own understanding, but acknowledge in our ways that the path might be straight. Our hymn this morning, Jan, lead us as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's Supper.